So we're going to start learning together about the ideas of Shabbos. There's a phenomenal video that I encourage everyone to search. It's on YouTube. I don't know if it was from the 70s or the early 80s. It's Rabbi Soloveitchik speaking in Yiddish, but with English subtitles. I don't speak Yiddish. And Rabbi Soloveitchik it's a 10-minute clip about the Avoda of Yom Kippur, specifically the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But in it, he describes a certain individual. He describes someone that really felt their Judaism. And he describes a story when he was a little boy. And, you know, in his Yiddish, he describes he was a little boy with little legs. I don't really know little boys that don't have little legs. But he was a little boy with little legs. And he was sitting in a shul, a small Hasidic shul by Shal Shudis. And he was sitting, and the person, the Chassid, sitting next to him, singing, the Chassid had more holes in his Bekesha than Bekesha. But he was singing with so much fervor, and the little boy, Rabbi Soloveitchik, thought he recognized him. And at one point, the chassid turned to little Rabbi Soloveitchik, little Beryl, and said, you know, do you know who I am? And the little boy said, absolutely not. And he said to him, I'm Yankel the porter. A porter is someone that would help people schlep things. When the ships got off in Warsaw, people would help you schlep your things, a piece of furniture, a suitcase. Yankel the porter was someone who always looked so disheveled throughout the week. And here on Shabbos, even with his lack of funds, he looked like a prince. He looked totally different, so much so that the little boy, Rabbi Soloveitchik, couldn't recognize him. The power that Shabbos has, we all know what Shabbos is, the power that Shabbos has to literally transform a person and to transform their week is something that we can't even put it into words. So we'll hopefully have the opportunity over a number of these weeks to learn about specifically the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. We know that Shabbos is full of positive and negative, and they're both super important. But I thought, you know, for a 4-week series, we'd focus on the positive aspects of Shabbos. And tonight, we're going to focus our attention on Kavod Shabbos and Hadlakos Neros. And we'll see we might end up putting a little bit more of a focus on Kavod Shabbos because it came first. In order to have a discussion about Kavod Shabbos and the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, we need to kind of just take a step back for a second, which makes sense to do on the first night that we're studying, to describe that where do we know the mitzvahs of Shabbos from, and how do they fall into categories. So we have the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments are given to us twice, and two times, once in Parshas Yisro, once in Parshas Veschanan, they're given to us and there's some extra short seats, I think. If not, if we sold out, we could share. In Parshas Yisro, in source number one, it's Parachaf and Sefer Shemos, the Torah tells us, it's in the Ten Commandments, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, you should remember the day of Shabbos, Lekacho, to sanctify it. And that same commandment, that the mirror image of that commandment when it's offered to us in Parshas Ve'eschanan, when the Aseres Hadibros are repeated in Sefer Devarim, in Deuteronomy, the Pasuk in Source 2, it says, Shomor es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, to guard the Shabbos. We're told by Chazal, we're told by the rabbis of the Talmud, that every language of Shamar represents negative. It represents not to do something, to protect something, and represents negative mitzvos. The Shomer es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, that represents the negative mitzvahs of Shabbos, which is to, as even in source number one, if you keep reading the Psukim in the first time it's mentioned, the Aseres Hadibros, we have Sheshes Yamim Tavod V'Asisa Kol Ma'atecha, 6 days you do your work, and you finish everything you need to do. The Yom HaShvi Shabbos LaHashem Alokecha, the seventh day is Shabbos for your Hashem. Lo Saseh Kol Melacha, you shouldn't do work. And so the Shomer represents all the things on Shabbos we're not supposed to do, which is the 39 categories of work that we stay away from, we refrain from, and obviously those are the categories of work that are d'oraisa, they're biblical. Then we added on layers of rabbinic decrees, all to kind of protect the sanctity of Shabbos. But it's the Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho that represents the positive aspects of Shabbos, because Zachor means to remember, and it almost is like it's giving you a charge to actively remember, to do something to remember. We're going to, this is a plug if you want to come back next week, when we focus on the mitzvah of Kiddush. The mitzvah of Kiddush is based off this charge of Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, where the Gemara jumps to the conclusion, Zachrei Hu Alayayin. Don't just remember it. And we might talk about whether you could just get away with remembering it in your mind or just remembering it with words. But the Gemara jumps to the conclusion to say, Zachorei alayayin. You should remember it over a cup of wine because that's going to make it more active. So the Zachor represents the positive mitzvos of Shabbos. But we're here tonight to talk about Kavod Shabbos. And we're very familiar with this term, Kavod Shabbos. What is the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos? Honoring Shabbos. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah that's going to be looked at as a level of Da'araisa? Is it a biblical mitzvah? Does it fall under this category of Zachor? Or is it maybe only a rabbinic mitzvah? Now, obviously, you and I, we all try to be good Jews, and we all try to do a mitzvah, whether it's biblical or whether it's rabbinic in its nature. But it's important to appreciate where the mitzvahs develop and how it comes. The sister, or brother, however you want to look at it, the partner to Kavod Shabbos is what we call Oneg Shabbos. And we're going to devote the third shir, to the concept of Oneg Shabbos. But tonight, there's no way to talk about Kavod without talking about Oneg, and Oneg without talking about Kavod. So if you thought we're only going to talk about Kavod, I'm going to mention Oneg too. I hope that's okay. So Kavod and Oneg. What type of mitzvah is Kavod and Oneg? So in source number 3, the Sifra, which is the halachic midrashim on Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Emor lists all of the holidays. And each holiday, we just finished a whole series of holidays, each holiday is called a Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation, a holy calling, a Mikra Kodesh. What's the first of the holidays listed in Parshas Emor when we go through all of the holidays? It's a trick question. What's the first of the holidays? Shabbos. It's rather strange. It's rather striking. You're coming to Parshas Emor. You're being right. We lay this always on the first day of Sukkot. That's what we lay. We hear about the different holidays. And it goes through. It starts with Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Each one is called the Mikra Kodesh, but the first one is Shabbos, which is rather striking. This comment of the Sifra is made all the way at the tail end of the holidays. The last holiday is obviously Shmini Atzeret, which we just celebrated. But the Sifra is commenting on the phrase Mikra Kodesh. Whenever something is called a Mikra Kodesh, the following is how you observe a Mikra Kodesh. So we could presume that not only is this comment being made about Shmini Atzeres and Sukkot, but it's being made about every single Mikra Kodesh, every single holy gathering, including Shabbos. So says the Sifra in source number 3, Mikra Kodesh Kadshehu, you should sanctify it, B'mata Mikadsho. How do you do that? How do you accomplish sanctifying it? So if you were going to be a literalist and say that sanctification is only the mitzvah of Kiddush, so we all know what Kiddush is. It's some type of recitation of words over a cup of wine. That's what Kiddush is. We'll talk next week about other ways to maybe fulfill, but Kiddush in a nutshell is a recitation of words over a cup of wine to announce Shabbos. But that's not what the Sifra says. Look at the language. B'ma'ata mikacho, b'machal, with food, b'mishteh, with drink, v'ksus nikia, and with nice clean clothing. Things that we would kind of, even before we do anything, ideas that we would kind of associate more with either enjoying Shabbos or honoring Shabbos, right? We're already talking about putting on clean clothing, talking about putting on your finest. That doesn't sound like a strictly kiddish idea anymore. It sounds like we've expanded into something that we would probably call something like Kavod Shabbos, honoring Shabbos. When do you put on good clothing? To honor an occasion, to honor a person, to honor an event. So what is the Sifra is telling you that whenever the phrase Mikra Kodesh is used in the Pasuk, the way you accomplish that is by doing things which we would call Kavod Shabbos, which might be a sign that honoring Shabbos is considered to be a mitzvah midaraisa. If that's not enough in terms of painting this side of the perspective, it won't be the only side. The Medrash in source number 4 talks about something that the rabbis had to debate. The rabbis had to debate what happens when Purim, if Purim would fall in a certain way, and you would have to fast the fast of Esther, we usually fast the fast of Esther, how many days before Purim? Usually immediately before Purim, so that if Purim's on a Thursday, we fast on Thursday night, we fast on Thursday. So let's say Purim, the 14th of Adar, fell out on Shabbos. When should you fast? presumably on Friday. But you have a little bit of you have a conflict. The conflict is that if you fast on Friday, you're going to enter Shabbos in a very hungry and not pleasant manner, and it's disrespectful to Shabbos. So the Medrash actually uses a language that one Shabbos, in terms of observing Shabbos, is better than 1,000 fast days. Why would you say such a thing? So in source number 4, the Medrash Tanchuma puts it together by saying, "Dekavod Shabbos, deoraisa." Honoring Shabbos is considered to be biblical in its nature. The Tanis, the Rabbanan. All fast days, besides Yom Kippur, are rabbinic in nature. You can't open up a pasuk in the Torah and find me the fast of Esther. You can't even find me Purim in the Torah. Purim happened hundreds of years after the Torah was completed. So it's not just that Shabbos is Doraisa, but specifically the Medrash says that Kavod Shabbos, honoring Shabbos is Doraisa, the Tainis Darabanan, and Tainis is rabbinic in its nature, the Asi Kavod Shabbos Doraisa, the Dachi Tainis Darabanan. Comes the force of the biblical nature of honoring Shabbos, and it pushes aside the rabbinic nature of fasting. So you would never have it happens to be this one exclusion. What's the one exclusion that we can't have a fast on a Friday? Asar B'Tavis is the only one. We have to give a separate shiur about that. But it's unique. You can never have another fast day fall out on a Friday because Chazal were concerned about going into Shabbos in such a hungry manner. So therefore, these two sources in the Medrash seem to describe Kavod Shabbos, honoring Shabbos, as being biblical in its nature. The Gemara, however, offers a different opinion in source number 5. The Gemara makes the following statement. It's in Masechah Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol ha-me'aneg es ha-shabbos nosnein lo mishalos libo. It sounds awesome. Anyone who enjoys themselves on Shabbos, what's the reward? It's like crazy. What's the reward for enjoying yourself on Shabbos? Nosten lo mishalos libo. You get whatever you want. You kind of what's given to you is mishalos libo, whatever the request of your heart. Which sounds amazing because it sounds like you're being rewarded for something that was already pleasurable, right? Kol ha-me'aneg es ha-shabbos. Whoever enjoys the Shabbos, that's the reward. How do you know that? So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav quotes a pasuk, but it's a little bit of a step here because he quotes one pasuk that comes from Tehillim, pasuk that we're probably not so familiar with from chapter 37 in Tehillim. Shenamar v'hisaneg al Hashem, and you will enjoy on Hashem. You will enjoy in relationship to Hashem. V'yiten l'cham mishal sibecha, and God will give you. God will kind of fulfill your heart's desire. So the question, how did that prove it? If you just stop right there, how did it prove it? Because you enjoyed yourself on Shabbos, and there's this kind of random pasuk in Tehillim that says those who enjoy with God receive their heart's desire, so we're missing a step. So the Gemara basically asks that question. Oneg, on the second line of source 5, Oneg zeh eini yodeh amahu. What do you mean, Oneg? What is this oneg? What is this enjoyment? I don't know what it means. It could mean enjoying yourself on a Tuesday, enjoying yourself on Sukkot, enjoying yourself on Pesach. How do you know that it means, how does Rav Yehuda Amar Rav know that it means Shabbos? So he makes a connection, and he says, and it can't just be that there's a connection, because the Gemara says, Kishu omer v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, when another pasuk in Tanakh, not in Sefer Tehillim, but rather in Sefer Yeshaya, chapter 58, we'll see the whole verse in a second, so you could see it in its actuality. But Pasuk says in Yeshaya, chapter 58, V'karasa la-Shabbos oneg. You will call the Shabbos an oneg, an enjoyment. Havi omer ze oneg Shabbos. So now we do this math. The Pasuk in Tehillim says if you enjoy with Hashem, you get whatever you want. The Pasuk in Yeshaya says enjoying is Shabbos. So that must mean that Pasuk in Tehillim meant if you enjoy on Shabbos, that's when you get what you want. Now, the skeptics in the room are going to say, you're just randomly picking a word. You're taking one Pasuk from Tehillim and one Pasuk from Yeshaya and putting it together. So if it was me standing up on a Shal Shudis, giving a Dvar Torah, taking one Pasuk from one place, one Pasuk from another place, so you could say I'm making it up. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work, and if it's a nice Dvar Torah, it works, and if not, not, and you go home. If Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is saying it, it must mean he had a rabbinic tradition that these two psukim are linked. that the word not. I'm not saying it's usually we call that a gzeirah shava when you have two psukim that have similar words that teach from one pasuk to the next. We call it a gzeirah shava. I don't know for sure if this is an official gzeirah shava, but it must mean that Rav Yehuda Marav was of the opinion that he had a tradition that these two psukim are linked. If the two psukim are linked, it's telling me that oneg Shabbos is something worthwhile. But where does he cite the pasuk from? What's the sources that we're dealing with here? A pasuk in Tehillim and a pasuk in Yeshaya. A pasuk in Tehillim and a pasuk in Navi. That's not what we call a din d'oraisa. That's not what we call a biblical law. The biblical laws are found in the five books of the Torah. Yeshaya is a wonderful sefer. Very difficult. Tehillim, a wonderful sefer. We rely on it every day of our life. But it's ksuvim. It's not from the Torah. The pasuk in its entirety, you can see it in source number 6. We are going to reference it later on. And there are Jews, my father in specific, who have customs to actually say this pasuk as part of the Kiddush on Shabbos day as a kind of a preview, as if saying the whole paragraph of Zachar and Vishamru wasn't enough. They throw in more psukim to say. So I talk about confusion. My dad says a ton of psukim, and my father-in-law just says a bar priya gafen. But we'll have to talk about that at the Kiddush here. So the pasuk says in Yeshaya, source 6, Perek Nun Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Im Tashiv Mi Shabbos or Aglecha. If you turn from Shabbos your feet, meaning if on Shabbos you turn your feet in a certain direction, from stopping to do, this is the way we understand the pasuk, Asos Chafatzecha, from stopping to do your not just desires, but your wants, the things that you want to do, it refers to work. B'yom Kadshi, on my holy day, because this is God talking, B'yom Kadshi, my holy day. V'karasa l'Shabbos Oneg, and you call Shabbos an Oneg, you refer to Shabbos, and you treat Shabbos as an Oneg, as a delight, as an enjoyment. Likdosh Hashem Mechubad, to sanctify God in an honorable fashion. V'chibadato, and how do you honor it? Me'asos derachecha, from doing your ways. Mimso chefzecha, from being involved in your pursuits. V'daver daver, and even in your speech. So that's the pasuk that the Gemara is describing. This pasuk obviously mentions two words. Which two words does it mention specifically for us tonight? Which two words? Kavod and oneg. Kavod and oneg in regards to Shabbos is found in this pasuk in Yeshaya. And this leads the Rambam. The Rambam devotes 30 chapters in his Mishnah Torah, in his work of Jewish law, his magnum opus, his great 14-volume book of Jewish law called the Mishnah Torah. Or, what's the other name for the Rambam's Mishnah Torah? The Yad HaChazaka. Why is it called the Yad HaChazaka? Because Yad is spelled Yud Dalet. Yud plus Dalet, 14. How many volumes? 14. Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam was very confident when he wrote his book. He got in trouble for the confidence. He was so confident that when he wrote his book, he said, you know what a Jewish person needs in their library? A Tanakh and my book. And they're done. He got in trouble for saying that, but 800 years later, he pretty much won. Because you can't budge. You can't learn anything. You can't learn anything real without referencing the Rambam. And the hundreds of commentaries that have been written on the Rambam, he clearly won out. So he devotes 30 chapters to Shabbos. About 28 of them deal with the negatives of Shabbos. We know there's a lot of negatives on Shabbos. There are a lot of malachas. The last final two chapters he devotes to the positive-oriented mitzvahs of Shabbos. Perakov Test, chapter 29, we'll probably make reference to it next week. That's where the Rambam devotes his talking about the mitzvah of Kiddush. The last perak, Perak Lamed, that's where the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. But how does he set it up? He sets it up in a very nice kind of intro type of way. Source number 7. Perak Lamed in the Rambam, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Arba Devarim Nemru B'Shabbos. There are four categories. There are four things about Shabbos. Shnayim min HaTorah. Two of them are biblical. V'shnayim midivrei Sofrim. And two of them are midivrei Sofrim. If we translate it exactly, it would be from the words of the scribes. It's a little bit of a questionable type of category. But two are min HaTorah and two are, let's call them not min HaTorah. V'hein mufurashin al yedei ha-Nevi'im. And how do we know these things? It's not explained to us just by any rabbi. It's not even explained to us by Chazal, by the rabbis of the Talmud. It's actually explained to us by prophets. Shebetorah, Zachar v'Shamor. Just like we started tonight. In the Torah, we hear Zachar and Shamor. Zachar representing positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, i.e. Kiddush. Shamor representing the malachos, the categories of work. V'shenisparshu al yidei ha-neviim. What are the ones explained to us by the prophets? You guessed it. Kavod va'oneg. Honoring Shabbos and enjoying Shabbos. Shenemar, because the pasuk that we just learned together in Yeshayahu Nun Ches, v'karas el Shabbos oneg, v'lekdosh Hashem chubad. So the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam at first blush, what would you say the Rambam calls Kavod Shabbos? You would say the Rambam would call Kavod Shabbos not a mitzvah daraisa, but a mitzvah midrabanan. Or at least something that's close, not exactly daraisa, because he would have said arba min haTorah. He would have said four. Another thing just to think about, if you were the Rambam, and you were going to now write the laws of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, how would you order the laws? Which would you discuss first? Kavod Shabbos or Oneg Shabbos? Look at the Rambam again and tell me what you would do. Don't look at any other Rambams on the page because that's cheating. What would you do? What would you discuss first? Kavod Shabbos, why? He puts it first. Well, what about the pasuk in Yeshaya? What the pasuk in Yeshaya mentioned first? Oneg. So you could maybe make an argument for starting with Oneg because that would pattern how the Navi did it. We're going to get there. So many understand the Rambam, and I would almost say consensus opinions to understand the Rambam saying that Kavod Shabbos is only a mitzvah midrabanan. In source number 8, the Yerayim, who was one of the Balei HaTosfos. When we say Balei HaTosfos, we don't only refer to one individual. Tosfos is on the page in the Gemara next to Rashi. Rashi was an actual individual. Tosfos is a school of thought that lasted for 200 years. There were scores of Balei HaTosfos. One of them was Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, or Metz. He was one of the students of one of the more famous Balei HaTosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, who was one of Rashi's grandsons. So Rabbi Elazar Mimitz explains in source number 8 that no, Kavod Shabbos is considered to be a mitzvah d'araisa. What type of mitzvah d'araisa? So he writes, he's talking about oneg, but like we said before, oneg and kavod, they go together. They're bonded. In source 8, the Sefer Yerayim writes, mitzvahs oneg Shabbos, gemara gemirala. Anyone familiar with that phrase? What's gemara gemirala signify? What type of halacha? From the back? Louder? A halacha l'moshe misinai. We're good Jews. We believe in two Torahs that were really one. We believe in a written Torah, the Torah shebichsav, and we believe in the oral Torah, the Torah shebal peh. They go hand in hand. Some of the halachas of the Torah shebal peh, you cannot find a source for them in the actual five books of the Torah. They're what we call halacha l'moshe misinai. Hashem told it to Moshe at Har Sinai. Hashem told it to Moshe. Moshe told it to Yeshua. Yeshua to Zakenim, exactly like the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos. And that's why we know them, because it was passed down. So says the Yerayim, Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos, that was a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Ad the Asa Yeshaya, for all the generations that Moshe Rabbeinu lived, and Yeshua lived, and David lived, and Shlomo lived, they kept passing it down as just a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Yeshaya came around, Yeshaya who lives approximately a little over 100 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and Yeshaya wrote it down, v'ask mo'akra, he went ahead and linked it to a pasuk, d'chsiv, v'karas el Shabbos oneg. But it has the same level of being biblical as Zachor Yom HaShabbos HaKacho, as Kiddush, it's on the same level. In source number 9, the Chassam Sofer takes it one step further. Because the Yerayim would almost make it sound like there's a machlokas, there's an argument between the Rambam who thinks Kavod and Oneg Shabbos is de'rabanan, and the Yerayim who thinks it's de'araisa. The Chassam Sofer puts forward the following theory. He thinks it's halacha Moshe Mesinai, meaning that it's on a biblical level. Because he says that we have a little bit of a problem. The problem is that there's a great difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and every other prophet. We believe that the Rambam actually in his Yud Gimel Ikari Amunah, the 13 principles of faith that we paraphrase in our Yigdal prayer every single day when we say it at Shachar, so every single Friday night here in the shul. So we say Lokum Kemosha Od. There will never be someone like Moshe. Moshe's prophecy is unique. How so? Moshe Rabbeinu has the ability to command something upon the Jewish people, and every generation that follows has to keep it. Every other Navi, including Avram Avinu, including Yaakov, including Yosef, every other Navi, David, Shlomo, if they command something to the Jewish people, a positive thing to do, it's only incumbent upon them, that generation has to listen. They can't make something Lidoros. Only Moshe Rabbeinu had that koach. So the Chasam Sofer says there's a problem. If you're gonna be a literalist in reading the Rambam, then how could the Navi Yeshaya come along and write an idea of Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos that you and I have to keep? We're way past the generation of Yeshaya. So therefore, he uses that kind of working backwards. He says, therefore, it must be that it was a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, exactly like the idea that Chasam Sofer was an Achron who lived in the 1800s. But he's saying, he goes back to he has the same theory as this Balei HaTosfos, the Yoreim, that it must be it was halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that it was passed down from generation to generation, and Yeshaya finally wrote it down. The consensus opinion is to actually read the Rambam not that way. To read the Rambam that it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, but it seems to be a very strong oriented mitzvah d'Rabbanan. Maybe that's why the Rambam puts the focus that this is not a mitzvah d'Rabbanan that came just during the times of the Gemara, even though that's important. This was an ancient mitzvah d'Rabbanan. It has its sources in the days of the Nevi'im, namely Yeshaya. So the question that we're going to shift to is what is considered to be Kavod Shabbos? And since you can't talk about Kavod without talking about Oneg, what's considered to be Oneg Shabbos? So what would you say if I asked the crowd? What is Kavod Shabbos? What is Oneg Shabbos? You have to give an example of something that's Kavod Shabbos, right? I'm not going to call on anyone, someone has to be brave here, right? What's Kavod Shabbos? What would be Kavod Shabbos? What would be Oneg Shabbos? They're waiting on the recording. You could be famous. Yeah.
Planning ahead
is Kavod Shabbos. And what's Oneg Shabbos?
The actualizing.
Actualizing of your plans. Excellent. Take a look at source number 10. We're going to read through a number of halachos using the Rambam as our base, where the Rambam asks the question. In source 10, Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Ezehu Kavod. What is considered to be Kavod Shabbos? Zeh she'amru chachamim, this that the sages told us, she'mitzvah al ha'adam lirchotz panav yada viraglav b'chamin b'erev Shabbos mipnei Kavod Shabbos. A person should, I guess in our 2017 sensitivities, we would put in a little bracket here that says at least, because we would probably expect to do more. But the Chazal said a person should wash one's face, one's hands, and one's feet bechamin in warm water, because I'm not a scientist, but I think warm water does a better job at cleaning. First of all, you'll keep your hands in the water for longer. An erev Shabbos mipnei kavod Shabbos, honoring Shabbos is getting clean. So that's the first example of what's honoring Shabbos. Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, umi kavod haShabbos shel yilbash ksus nikiya. Wear clean clothing. V'lo yeh malbush hachol k'malbush haShabbos. In the ideal setting, one's Shabbos clothing should not be like their weekday clothing. There should be a difference in the clothing. It should be a marketable difference in the clothing. Happens to be the halacha addresses, and unfortunately there were times, perhaps even today, where Jews who are destitute, they don't necessarily have the option. What should one do if they're in the situation where they only have one pair of clothing, and now it's going to be Shabbos? Could they perhaps make a little bit of a change in their clothing to highlight Shabbos? So we have getting clean, we have wearing nice clothing. Halacha Dalet. Aser l'kvoa suda umishte be'erev Shabbos mipnei kavod Shabbos. You can't make a party, you can't make a big festive meal on erev Shabbos because of honoring Shabbos. Mikavod Shabbos sheyimna adam min amincha ulamala, from the time of mincha, which doesn't refer to mincha that we daven in shul. It refers to what's called mincha ketana. On a perfect day when sunrise is at 6 a.m. and sunset is at 6 p.m. It would be somewhere around 3:30 in the afternoon. You should stop milikvah asuda. You shouldn't have a big meal at that point. You should enter Shabbos having an appetite. If you have a huge meal on Erev Shabbos, you're not going to want to eat on Shabbos. And that's considered to be the activity of not eating on Friday, a big meal after a certain time. That's considered to be what? Kavod Shabbos. So that's our third definition. Halacha Vav, we keep going. Halacha Hey, we skipped one. You should have stopped me. Misader Adam Shulchano Be'erev Shabbos. Set the table on Erev Shabbos. This is all under the prism of Kavod Shabbos. V'tzarech latakein beso mibod yom mipnei Kavod Shabbos. You got to make sure the house is in order on Erev Shabbos. Why? That's a Kavod of Shabbos. V'yener daluk. You should have a candle lit. V'sholchan aruch. The table set. U'mita mutzas. The bed should be made. Shekol elu l'chvod Shabbos. All of these activities are considered to be honoring Shabbos. So you're going through your mind, everything that we do on this list, and many of us actually do these things, that's Kavod Shabbos. Halacha Vav. So when you think about this list for a second, some of the activities are not exactly the holiest activities. It might be a little demeaning. Some of us maybe hire people to do these things for us. So the Rambam quotes here on Halacha Vav, the last source on page 1, the last two lines, Afal pi shiye adam chashuv biyoser. Even if you have a person who's very chashuv, who's very important, ve'ein darko likach dvarim min hashuk. They don't normally go shopping in the marketplace for things. Ve'lo l'sa'atzeik b'malacho shebabayis, and they don't involve themselves in domesticated labor in the house. Chayiv lasos dvarim shein l'tzarech haShabbos bigufo. You're obligated with your own body to do this. Shezehu kivodo. This is how you honor Shabbos, by rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty. Chachamim harishonim mehem. We have some of our earliest sages. Mishahaya mefatzel ha'etzim levashel behen. Someone would chop. He would chop wood in order for the cooking. Right. We have nice stoves that don't run on wood, unless we have fancy types of barbecues that you need to use wood. But normally we don't have that. But there was a chachamim who did that. Umehen, flipping over the page. Mishayim mevashel. One of them would cook. O moleach baser, would salt the meat. O godel psilos, he would get the wicks ready. O madlik neros, or he'd be involved in the lighting. Umehen mishayim yotze v'koni dvarim shein l'tzarech haShabbos. Someone also who would go out and purchase items for the needs of Shabbos. Mimaychol umashka, whether it be food, whether it be drink. Afal pisha ein darka b'chach. Even though they don't normally do it, they would do it for Shabbos. And the Rambam has a beautiful language here. It's a language that the Rambam uses in multiple places. V'chol hamar b'davar zeh, harei zeh meshubach. The more you could do, the better. The more you could be involved in what we would call the preparations of Shabbos, the more praiseworthy it is. For those of you who have not studied Meseches Kiddushin, the Gemara makes a number of perhaps surprising statements. So the Gemara says in Meseches Kiddushin that one, at this Mishnah, you're allowed to betroth, a man is allowed to betroth a woman via means of a shliach. That a person could send his friend to a woman's house, he'll knock on the door and say, let's say his name is Reuven, he'll send his shliach Shimon, he'll knock on the door and say, Harei at mekudeshes l'Reuven, you're hereby betrothed to Reuven with this ring, he has two witnesses there. It's not exactly romantic, but if she accepts, she's actually married to Reuven. But the Gemara says, and this is a famous line in the first page of the second parak in Kiddushin, it's much better to do a mitzvah yourself than to send your shliach to do the mitzvah. The Gemara brings a proof. It's amazing. The Gemara could bring a proof perhaps from any mitzvah, and the Gemara chooses to bring a proof from rabbis in the Talmud who would involve themselves in the preparations of Shabbos. That they would salt the fish. That there was some type of dish where you would like singe with a little bit of fire part of the food. That rabbi would do that. That they involved themselves, and now we kind of understand that's a prime example where here what the Rambam is saying. Normally, you don't involve yourselves in those activities, But when it comes to Shabbos, you do. So here the Rambam described what he calls kavod. In the next halacha, which is halacha zayin, towards the top of page 2, you have to ask the other question. Well, what's oneg? Ezehu oneg. What's oneg? Zesh amru chachamim, this is what the sages told us. Tzarech latakein tafshil shamein biyoser. You have to have really fatty foods, umashkim vusam, and fragrant drinks, l'shabbos, for Shabbos, hakol afi mamono shel adam, everything according to the financial means of the person, v'hakol hamarbe behotzah Shabbos uvetikon ma'achalam rabim v'tovim harayitim meshubach. The more you could spend on Shabbos, obviously within your means, it's the better. But specifically, we're talking about foods that are going to be delicious, so that you'll be enjoying them on Shabbos. In Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, and under the prism of Oneg Shabbos, Chayiv Adam Lachol Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos. A person has to eat three distinct meals. Rambam's not talking about Shalosh Sudos. Three meals, Achas Arvis, Achas Shachars, Achas Mincha, one at night, one at day, one at morning, one in afternoon. V'tzarech lechval kol suda mishlashtan alayayin, there has to be wine at these meals. U'latzal shtei kikaros, there has to be two loaves of bread. And finally, in Halacha Yud, achilas basar ushtias yayin, eating meat, drinking wine, b'Shabbos, onegu. This is the enjoyment of Shabbos. So it appears that we have distinct categories. How do you put it into place in terms of what's the guiding principle of the Rambam? So I'd like to use, and again, we really could spend hours on each of these topics. So right now, we'll at least fulfill our idea of talking about Hadlakas Neiros. When did the Rambam mention Hadlakas Neiros? In the category of Kavod Shabbos or Oneg Shabbos? You might have to look back at the sheets. Where did the Rambam say to have a Ner Daluk? Kavod Shabbos. So that would sound like Hadlakas Neiros is honoring Shabbos. The only problem with that, and this is where it gets a little puzzling, is if we go back in the Rambam, which we don't actually have to flip anywhere, it's source 11. But I mean back in the Rambam, because we've been looking at the Rambam in chapter 30, you have to go back to the Rambam in chapter 5, where the Rambam talks about the idea of Hadlakas Neiros, of Shabbos. So even though it's in the context of the negatives of Shabbos, but perhaps similar to the fact that in the second chapter of Shabbos, of the Maseches Shabbos, right, this is something fascinating. I remember my first year, the first year I came to YU, we learned Shabbos, and I was in Rabbi Shechter's year, and I would say, I don't know, probably like once a month, he would start with his opening line, the same opening line. The Maseches Shabbos has 24 prakim in it. There are 24 chapters of the Mishnah of Maseches Shabbos. Why? Because during the time of the Mishnah, a kala, a bride, had 24 pieces of jewelry. So the 24 prakim of Mishnayos Shabbos are the 24 pieces of jewelry for the Shabbos Malka, for the Shabbos kala. So in the second chapter of Shabbos, we deal with Hadlakas Neiros, Bamem Adlikin, it's what we recite, Ashkenazim recite on Friday nights in Shul. So the Rambam, earlier in his work on Shabbos, he discusses Hadlakas Neiros. So listen, let's learn together the Rambam, and we'd be expecting him to define Hadlakas Neiros the same way as Kavod Shabbos. In source 11, the Rambam reads, Hadlakas Neir b'Shabbos, the concept of right of lighting a candle on Shabbos, ain't a rishus, it's not on a volunteer basis. Imratza madlik vim lo ratza imratza eno madlik. It's not something you get to choose. Velo mitzvah she'eno chayiv lirdov acharel. It's not a mitzvah that you're not obligated to run after. Ache yasena, unless you have to do it. Kigon eru v'chatzeros until as yadayim la'achila. Right. If a person didn't want to make an eruv because they didn't want to have, let's say they weren't going to leave their house, they don't have to make an eruv. You only make an eruv if you want to carry. You don't have to wash your hands for until as yadayim. It's only if you're eating bread. Elachova, the Rambam defines, it's based on the Gemara, he defines Hadlakas Neiros on Shabbos as a full obligation. Ve'echad anashim, ve'echad nashim, chayavin. Both men and women are equally obligated, liyos bevatehen ner dalof b'Shabbos, right? To have a candle lit on Shabbos. This sometimes is a common misconception, I would say, amongst young boys growing up as teenagers. They think, I was in this category, they think that the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros is a woman's mitzvah because they grow up seeing their mom light. But then they go off to yeshiva and you have three guys, you know, in Israel spending Shabbos in their parents' or grandparents' apartment. and no one lights candles. And that's not correct. They have to light candles, obviously in a safe way if they're going to leave, but you have to light. I remember it was, so when we were in yeshiva, in Shalavim, so we didn't light our own candles, but one of the Rebbeim's wives, or one of the Kolal wives, used to light on our behalf. That's at least what we were told. That worked great until one night. Which night did it not work to have the Rebbeim's wives and the Kolal wives lighting candles for us? Simchas Torah. American Simchas Torah. Day two. Israelis aren't celebrating Yom Tov anymore. They're not lighting candles anymore. They're making Havdalah. They're taking down their sukkah. They're doing other things. And we're a bunch of schnooks still dancing with the Torah. So we had to, we were in the dining room. We had to figure out how we're going to light candles. So you have to light candles. That was on Yom Tov. But Shabbos also, so the Rambam says it's both men and women. Chayavin lios bevatein ner dalok b'Shabbos. You have to have a candle lit. Afilu ein lo mashi yochal shoal ala psachim v'lo kach shemen. Even if someone doesn't have what to eat, they should ask on the doors. What does ask on the doors mean? Tzedakah. They should raise funds for themselves in order to buy oil, in order that they could light Shabbos candles. Umadli kisaner, why? Shazeh, bichlal? What? Oneg Shabbos. I thought it's Kavod Shabbos. Then Perek Lamed, the Rambam says it's Kavod Shabbos. In Perek Hey, he says it's Kavod, it's Oneg Shabbos. Which is it? It's the same Rambam. He doesn't make these mistakes. The Rambam doesn't make mistakes like that. He spent 10 years working on the Mishnah Torah. Rabbi Beryl Wine in his lectures talks about it. We think of the Rambam as this doctor and Talmud Chacham. Not when he worked on the Mishnah Torah. He secluded himself for 10 years and focused on this. Kulo. He's not making a mistake from chapter 5 to chapter 30. So what does it mean? So a very simple answer, because it sounds simple. It's not one or the other, but it's both. Because we go back to your suggestion, which is the correct answer. The category, things that you do to prepare for Shabbos, that's Kavod Shabbos. So everything that we do the whole week, if it's for the sake of Shabbos, that's Kavod Shabbos. Once we get to Shabbos and we start enjoying Shabbos, physically, spiritually, that falls under the category of Oneg Shabbos. What is lighting candles? It's both. Why is it both? Because if you're going to enjoy the candlelight on a Friday night, it has to get lit. We can't light candles on Friday nights once you reach the time. So therefore, the Rambam defines it as both. Because part of your preparation for Shabbos is to light a candle, and then part of your enjoyment of Shabbos is to have the candle present, is to have the candle lit. That's in Perek Hey. In Perek Lamed, we saw it as part of Kavod Shabbos. That you could see in source number 10 on the Halacha Hey, the fourth section of source 10. The Rambam says, "V'tzarech l'takin beisum mibod yom etnei Kavod Shabbos, v'yener daluk v'sholchan aruch, v'mita mutzah, shekol elu l'chvod Shabbos." Just because we read this Rambam, and I promised you some halakhas neira stuff. There's a fascinating question that you could ask on this Rambam. The Rambam said when it comes to lighting candles, even on lo aleinu, a person who doesn't have funds has to go knocking on doors to ask for money. It's a little bit of a question because elsewhere, we don't have it on our sheets, but if you look at the Rambam elsewhere in Perek Lamed, the one that we've been citing, the Rambam writes, for an individual who can't afford to buy special foods for Shabbos, the Rambam cites right out of the Gemara the following phrase: "Asei Shabbat chachol, make your Shabbos mundane, but al tistarich labrios. Don't make yourself a burden on the community in order that you eat better foods on Shabbos." So take a step back. When it comes to your shopping list of food, you should not ask for tzedakah to update or to upgrade your Shabbos. But if you don't have candles, you should go ahead and knock on doors to raise money so you could have Shabbos candles. It seems to be a little puzzling. many of the answers revolve around the fact that we're highlighting just how important Shabbos candles are. Just how important Shabbos candles are. They're more important than the food of Shabbos is to have the candles of Shabbos. Because the candles of Shabbos perhaps represent something even more integral to the family. And one of the ways to prove this is a famous Gemara that's cited. If a person, again, lo aleinu, this shouldn't have to be, but if a person has a choice to only buy one set of candles for Hanukkah or for Shabbos, what do you do? What do you do? You only have enough for one candle. You only have enough money to buy one. Should you do Hanukkah? Hanukkah has Pirsume Nisa, or publicizing a miracle. It's so special. It's a once a year. Shabbos. You know, we have Shabbos every single week. We tend to take it for granted. The Gemara says Shabbos candles are more important. Shabbos, why? The Gemara says because Shabbos candles represent the idea and ideals of Shalom Bayis, of having peace in the home. Specifically, in homes that did not have electricity, if there was light, there was the ability to have Shalom Bayis. If there was no light and you're sitting in the dark, you can't light another candle. So if you don't have a candle lit from before Shabbos, there's going to be discord in the house. And that's not going to honor Shabbos properly. And it's not going to honor the family unit. And so Shabbos candles actually went out. So the question that we raised on the Rambam is not a question. Yes, when it comes for Shabbos candles, lo aleinu, a person's supposed to knock on the door. When it comes to upgrading their food for Shabbos, they don't have to necessarily do so. So if you take a look at source number 12, Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who was a great Hasidic master who lived in the late 1800s, he writes the distinction, and this distinction is mentioned by the Vilna Gaon, by the Briska Rav, the distinction between what's kavod and what's oneg. And he says it in a very beautiful way. He says, "Umichlalos divrei haRambam sham perek lamed." The principles of the Rambam that we've been learning about in the 30th chapter, Binyan Kibud, when it comes to Kibud, when it comes to honoring Shabbos, "Lamadati vehevanti," I have learned and I understand, "The kol ma she'adam toreach mikame shabbata," everything that a person puts in effort for before Shabbos, "letzorech Shabbos," for the needs of Shabbos, "hakol bechlal kavodu," that's under the umbrella of kavod. "Va'afilu yeh toreach letzorech davar shel oneg," even if that which they are involved in is something that on Shabbos they're going to enjoy. So you're making the delicious food, that's still considered to be kavod. V'chein hadin ki ba'oneg, when it comes to oneg, eino el b'shah shemis aneg biyomo. Oneg Shabbos is really only when you're actually enjoying the Shabbos, meaning on Shabbos. Avol mitzvahs kavod hu, koma she'oseh l'chvodo. The mitzvah of kavod is everything that you do to honor it. And now he brings the point home. Why do we put such a focus on honoring Shabbos? Kain sarcho l'toreach l'chvod b'melech terem bo'o. It's like a sar. It's like an officer who gets involved in the preparations if the king is coming to town. If the king is coming to town, everyone gets involved in the preparations. V'zeh ukr kvodu b'toreach shu od terem bo'o. The main part of kavod is before the king arrives. It's setting everything up so that the town looks perfect. And everyone gets involved, even the officers. And the officers get involved. When we prepare for our Shabbases, we're doing something in order to prepare for Shabbos, but it's also to prepare ourselves for Shabbos. The Hasidic work, I believe it's fourth generation Hasidus, and we have an expert in the crowd, the Mar V'Shemesh, Rav Klonimus Kalman Epstein Halevi. In source 13, he gives a fascinating idea that I believe is really worthwhile, and I know that each of these sources were worthwhile. But if you devoted your time on a weeknight for Kavod HaTorah and for Kavod Shabbos, this source makes it all worth it, in and of itself. In source number 13, Mar V'Shemesh writes, "Yesh hashra'as kedusha L'chol Adam b'Shabbos." There is an enhancement or a resting of holiness for every single person on Shabbos. Right? And when we read this, we can think about the story we started with, the story of Yankel the porter. Everyone gets some type of holiness on Shabbos. The eino dome kedusha Shabbos l'chol adam b'shaveh. But the holiness of Shabbos does not rest on all of us equally, on each person equally. Rak yesh b'nei adam asher margishim yoter kedusha b'shabbos. There are individuals that feel the holiness of Shabbos in a more intense fashion. V'yesh she'eina margishim kol kach. And there are those who don't feel Shabbos so much. Rak ma'at mina ma'at, like the littlest from the littlest. V'yesh she'yesh lohem harbe kedusha ma'od. And there are other ones, right? Yankel of the Porter, they felt the kedusha of Shabbos so much. Says the Mar v'Shemesh, how do we get that? I want that. V'hakol l'fi hachanas b'nei adam. It all is based, it's proportional to the preparations of a person, asher mechen me'erev erev Shabbos l'Shabbos, what they prepare on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. V'zeh kemat nira b'chush l'chol adam. This could be actually felt by all people. She'ein kedushas Shabbos shaveh b'chol adam. That the sanctity of Shabbos is not equal. And here I don't think the Ma'or B'Shemesh is only talking about the physical ways that we prepare for Shabbos. So if I make soup and potato kol, but you make soup, potato kol, and cholent, then you get more kedusha. It's not just that. It might be. But it's that if someone uses their week to prepare for Shabbos on a spiritual level as well, to create the mindset, to plan, what are my activities going to be on Shabbos? What am I going to discuss with my family at the table? What am I going to do with my children? What am I going to do with my spouse? What am I going to read on Shabbos? What am I going to learn on Shabbos? What is my Shabbos going to look like? The more you invest in preparing for Shabbos, the more Rav Shemesh says, that's how much Kedusha you could receive on Shabbos. We all want to receive that Kedusha on Shabbos. So he's giving us a little, what I would call a yisod for the road, a foundational point that we could take with us, that in order to enhance our Shabbosim, we need to use our weekdays, even though we're super busy, and I'm also busy, and I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to you, we need to be thinking actively, planning out what type of Shabbos are we all going to have. I thank you all for coming tonight.